Anyway, we're going to jump into the message here today, all right? And we've been doing Life's Healing Choices, which is a series that's coming out of Saddleback Church from Rick Warren. How many are enjoying the Sunday school in the morning time? They've been coming out to that. See a show of hands. Those that have been coming out to that, all right. And I think, you know, to me, I'm really encouraged by what we're doing. We have a Wednesday night Bible study at my house, and then we also have a Sunday school here this morning at 9:30. And so we only have two more times coming up, and then that's it. That's the end of that. But we are going to look to be continuing Sunday school down the line here. So we'll probably have another four-part series, a little break during the holidays, and then come back after January as well and start afresh with that. But I think this series has been really good. It's been really good for me to be going through. It's been heart-wrenching. It's been changing. But here's what we're talking about today, and today is called the growth choice. Everyone say the growth choice. Thank you. All right. Man, we should do this more often. That's more participation than normally after praise worship. So the growth choice. And today, let me express what they're saying from this. The growth choice says, I reserve a daily time with God for Bible reading, self-examination, and prayer in order to know God and His will for my life and to gain the power to follow His will. Okay? So we've been talking about a lot of different changes. There have been a lot of things going on in our heart and life through this series that we've been doing. Again, this is week 7. This is a week 7 message here, okay? Next week is the last Sunday morning message regarding this, okay? But this is called the growth choice. And here's really the crux of this is that, you know, we can start well. We can start a lot of things well, but finishing well is a whole other story. How many people have started a book you never finished? Anybody in here? All right, everyone, wow. This is another time where everyone's telling the truth. Normally I have hands down, and yeah, everyone's raising their hand. This is great. And so, this is something I think we can all have experience of starting something but not finishing. And in this life, it's not just about how you start, but it's how you finish. We want to get to the finish line when we come to see Jesus, and we hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. I want to hear that when I get to heaven. I want to hear that when I enter into those pearly gates and Jesus greeting me there is well done, good and faithful servant. So look, we're not just living for the moment. We're not living for the past. We're living for eternity. There's an eternity that we're going for. And there is a finish line when it is our time to go and we will be meeting Jesus. But look, we need to realize that it's not just about now. Because so many times we realize we start something, we don't finish it. We come to January time. How many have had good New Year's resolutions that only lasts for the beginning of the new year, for January, and then they just kind of fall off? We've all experienced this. So this growth choice is simply, how do we keep going, this engine that's happening in our life? How do we keep this change? How do we see it last in our life? Not just simply a moment, not just a fling with Jesus, not just a fling with our heart with Him, but how we have this everlasting, ever-growing, ever-life-giving relationship with Him that powers the change that is needed in our life. I think all of us have been confronted with some of the change that's needed. And I hope that you have. I hope that our heart has been tender enough to hear, to listen to what God has been speaking to us through this. And I say this as a receiver of this as well. I'm sitting at the other end listening. I'm sitting at the other end receiving as well. I'm also going through heart-wrenching changes in my life. You know, I just talked about, you know, today we're talking about the relationship choice. And part of it in there was talking about restitution. And I realized that I had used some tolls from my brother. He gave us an easy pass. And so this week, I felt convicted to send him some money. I didn't really have money to send him, but I felt like I needed to send him some money. So I sent him a check that covered more than anything. But, you know, I want to give credit that God used this series to work in my heart this, because I didn't even think about it. I wasn't even going to think about it. It didn't even come to mind. I realized, no, you know what? I think I owe him something. And I didn't realize that, even though he said I could use it, but I used it probably a bit more than what's probably good. So I felt convicted to do this. It wasn't just something I felt guilty. I felt convicted to be moving in this, all right? And so, again, this is working in me too, but in order to keep this change, we need to look at having growth and continuing growing. It's not simply just having one prayer time with God. We all know that. We know that it's a continued source of power that we need. You know, for example, if you have a blender, you plug it in once. That's great. You've used your blender, but you know your blender's not going to work if it doesn't stay plugged in. Come on, this is a big dumb moment, right? Come on, your blender, your appliances in your house, your washer, dryer, your dishwasher, your things do not work if they are not plugged into electricity. Can I hear an amen with that? Amen. I know some of you are zoning out already a little bit on me, all right? And I understand this is a bit different, but catch where we're going with this, okay? So same thing is that we need to be plugged in. Now, you've heard me preach like this before. You've heard me talk about being connected with God. And it's important. This is where we're talking about this first step. This first step that Rick Warren talks about in the very first point that he makes, that we need to reserve a daily time with God. So, on the notepad that you have, on the little sticky note, I don't want you to put your names on it, okay? But we're going to do a little confession time, okay? And, you know, I'm not going to be reading these off or anything, but what I would like you to do is this. I want you to have two lines in there. On the first line, I want you to put how many days a week you pray. How many days a week you connect with God. Now, if you're online, you can also go online. The same thing is online. So if you're using your iPad or stuff, you can look at the question online. It's the same thing. But first line, put how many days a week you pray. On the second one, on the second line of the notepad, put how many minutes in those days that you pray. How many minutes? Now, again, I'm not looking. I don't want your name on this. I want you to know what you're doing. Because here's something very simple about growth. It's intentional. It's intentional. So I'll get to that point in a minute. Take a moment. I want you to think about how many days a week you pray in the first line. The second line, how many minutes in those days do you take time to connect with God? And here's the deal. I won't even collect these. I'm not looking to collect these or anything. I want you to take a moment to process just that. That you take a look and actually face that mirror. Now, for some of you, you guys might be spending a lot of time in prayer. And that's awesome, and that's beautiful, and I'm glad you are. Then you will understand this message, and you'll be able to say amen to it and agree with it. And even if you're not, I think you'll still be able to agree and say amen and come alongside with this, all right? So this is called, again, the growth choice. And here's what happens. That if we don't do this intentionally, this won't happen by accident. It's a choice. It's called the growth choice. You don't just grow accidentally. You grow on purpose. If you decide, if you're dealing with an issue, and you just say, I don't know what I'm going to do with that. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm just going to keep going in my life. Well, guess what? Nothing is most likely going to change in your life. We expect things to just happen because we've seen things happen in life, and we think that things are just going to change. But how many of us are in the same rut we were in 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 2 years ago, 1 year ago? Some of us haven't seen change in our life. But here's the thing. I think all of us have seen spats of change. All of us have seen spats of moments where our willpower came into being and we saw us conquer for a moment. But we talked about that already, right? That willpower does not last. It is God's supernatural power that we need. And let me give a confession, all right? I have experienced so many times in my life where I've connected with God. I've sensed the power of God to make a change in my life. I begin moving in it, but here's my problem. I get a little bit too puffed up because I sense the power of God. I sense the strength. I say, I can do this. And all of a sudden, it transitions from God's power to my power. All of a sudden, I get fooled into thinking that the strength is my strength, and I keep going, and I begin dismissing my prayer time with God. I begin dismissing my time to connect with God. And what happens? Pride comes before a fall. But here's the thing. I don't process that as pride. I don't think about that I'm being arrogant. I think I've got strength. But then I transition to my strength. And how does that happen? It happens when I stop spending time with God. It happens when I start taking the wheels and I start saying, okay, I'm going to keep moving in this. I'm going to keep going with this, but I don't need to pray. I don't even have time to pray. I don't even have time to connect with God. I need to get this done. I need to go this. I feel the strength to do it. I'm going to keep going. And then, bam, collapse. We fall. We break down. Something happens. And here's what it comes down to. We don't see it. We totally miss it. But when you start getting busy in your life, we talked about this in a series, one of the most impactful series, I think, in my opinion, was called Margin a few years ago, okay? Where when we get too busy, one of the first things to leave our life is our relationship with God. Because we say, God, you understand. And we start pushing out, God, you know how busy I am. And all of a sudden, we begin pushing out. You know, Martin Luther, the great reformist, the great revolutionary, Martin Luther, okay? He said, the more busy he is, the more time he needs to pray. The more busy he was, the more time he needed to pray. Now, you know, on Facebook this week, I saw someone post something, and I'll read it here real quick. It's from a friend of mine in California. She says, my prayer that I'm asking all my FB friends and family to join me in, I'm asking God to help me realign my life so I can get back into Bible study and build a better relationship with him. Going to church for a Sunday service is not enough. Being a wife and mother while working, also a lead for the district, two kids in sports, one is in one an extra travel team, One is on an extra travel team. Team mom to one kid's team. Health issues and a child with learning disabilities is taking a toll on my personal time with Jesus and other things. I can't keep up with my life schedule. People say not to post your issues on Facebook, but I don't care because some of the most godly people I know are on Facebook page and I need their help. Anyone can relate to that? I think we can all relate to feeling overwhelmed. And all of a sudden, man, this is not enough. This is not enough. And here's the truth, it's not enough. You can't lose sight of the goal. And here's the hard truth. There needs to be some hard changes in your life. Something that I've been having to say constantly the past few weeks, and even though I know this, I've had to reiterate it in my life, even out loud, is that God is the most important meeting in my day. Okay? Now, this might mean nothing to you, and that's okay, but for me, this is like a mantra for me right now. This is something I've been having to tell myself constantly. Why? Because here's the thing, we don't naturally see God. I'm one of those guys, I'm like a post-it note guy. That's what I used to be, I should say. If something came in front of me, I would deal with it, right? Something comes in front of me, I got to deal with that. Something else comes in my plate, I got to deal with that. I deal with whatever comes before me. But that's living life accidentally, honestly. It's not living life intentionally. And you got to say, no, I got to take control of my time in the sense where I take control to submit it to God. I take back this time and I'm going to reserve it for God. I'm going to take a daily time with God and I'm going to save it for him. Why? Because he's more important than any other meeting you have in your day. He's more important in my life than any other meeting I have in the day. Now, here's the thing. We mentally assent that that's true, but we don't actionally live it. Okay, not actually, actionally. We don't, it's not a word, I'm making it up, okay? We don't actually take action in our life to live that out in our day-to-day, where we actually spend time. We know that's true. We know he's the most important person. He's more important than you meeting with President Obama, or if you're a Republican, whatever. It's more important than you meeting with the governor, more important than you meeting with any other person in this universe. God is more important than that. Are you treating your time with him that important? So here's what I want to do today. Rick Warren, if you're on YouVersion, you'll see Rick Warren's notes at the end there, some of the points that he makes there, and those are excellent points on how to keep growth, and we'll go with them at the end here. But I want to talk about really his first point, and that's really spending and reserving daily time with God. And I want to talk with you how to connect with God, how to make this time a meaningful time. Because I think sometimes we get lost. I think sometimes, especially even being a Christian for a long time, we have learned some things. And let me tell you something I've heard. One of the greatest quotes I heard, I can't quote it exactly, but it says, the future generation is going to belong to those who unlearn and relearn things from their past. Okay? Unlearn. There's a big unlearning that we have to do, especially in our habits, in our actions, in what we do. So, again, let's jump into this a little bit. Okay? Let's jump in. Now, let me say this. Going back to this first point, I need to fix a daily time with God. You have your notes, you have your little notepad in front of you. You can see kind of where you're at, okay? Again, I'm not needing to look at it, but I want us to look at it, okay? And let me tell you what Rick Warren, a quote that he says, okay? This is what he says, word for word. He says, I want to tell you personally, and I'm a pastor, and I've been walking with the Lord for over 40 years. The hardest thing in my life to keep is to be consistent in my daily time with God, because everything fights against it. Everything fights against it. Why? Because Satan knows if he can keep you disconnected, you're worthless. You have no power. You have no defense. You have no strength against his temptations. He doesn't care what you do. You can do all kinds of good things as long as you don't spend time with God. Why? Because it's the number one purpose in life. Why does Satan fight it? Because it gives you the power. The Bible says in 1 John 3:6, this is his quote still, everyone who lives in union with Christ does not continue to sin. What does that mean? It means when I'm connected with Christ, he gives me the power, the ability, the effort, the desire, and everything I need to not do what's wrong and to do what's right. Now some of you need to just, including myself, okay, just need to believe that for a second. Need to actually, let's say this, we need to re-believe that. We need to come to believing that your time with God is important. We need to come back to believing that, you know, your time with God is meaningful. And that it's needed. Because let me tell you, for me, what happens. There's sometimes when I pray and I feel nothing and I get nothing out of it and I get aggravated with God. Maybe you find yourself in that aspect as well. We talked about this a little bit a few weeks ago. Jacob, remember Jacob wrestled with God? He got a little aggravated and got a little frustrated with God. But here's the thing, he didn't let go. He didn't let go. And sometimes God wants you to get in a wrestling match with him. Sometimes God ordains some frustration. or sometimes a lot of frustration. But if you keep going, if you keep holding on to him, you are going to be able to see clearly real soon. Don't let go of your Savior. Don't let go of believing. Don't let go. You got to keep holding on. Keep calling out. Don't let go of what you know is true. Don't let go of your daily time with connecting with him. And I think some of you can relate to what I've said, that there's been times you connected with God. You sense that strength, but here's what happens. We begin moving in that strength and then transitions to our own power. And then we stop spending time with God because we get too busy. If I could just get you back to that point to realize that, look, it comes back to, are we spending that time with God? If we are, yeah, you might get frustrated at times. But if we can set a daily time with God, it will revolutionize your life. Let me say this in a more very simple, basic way. If you follow God, it will change your life. If you give your life to God, and your life is made up of your time, your energy, who you are, it will change your life. Now, we say that's very cliche, but we're getting to the nitty-gritty of what it means. It means spending time with God. You cannot give yourself to your spouse in marriage without spending time with him. That's not really covenant, is it? Is it a really relational if you are, okay, I'm going to marry you, but I'm not going to spend any time with you, or I'll meet with you maybe 1 minute a day and that's it. Well, guess what? Your connection is not going to be very strong with your spouse, is it? It's going to be pretty weak. That relational connection is going to be very weak if that time is limited. So it's important that we take time with God. It's important that you take time with your spouse to date them, to be with them. But likewise, more important than your spouse is God. And I will say that to kingdom come. More important than your spouse is your time with God. Why? Because you can't love your spouse like God does. Let me say it again. You can't love your spouse like God does. Well, let me rephrase that. You can through Christ, because all things are possible through him. Without Christ, you cannot love him like God does. You know, that's God's child. Your family member, it's not just your family member. That's God's child. That's God's kid. That's God's son or daughter. And when you mess with one of God's sons and daughters, you're messing with him. It doesn't matter if you're one of God's kids. If I see my Hannah beating up on Haley or vice versa, guess what? You don't touch him. Get away. Not going to happen. I will defend if I see something going wrong. So look, God wants to be involved, and God will give you the love that you cannot even do, that you cannot even give. So before you focus on your marriage, focus on your relationship with God. I know there's some resistance there, and I really want to push that strong because I sense that resistance, and I understand it. Before you spend time focusing on your relationships, focusing on your relationship with God, he will give you the power. A little investment with God goes a long way in every area of life. Before you give time to your job, give time to God. God is more important than your job. Well, look, yeah, it's one thing me saying it to you. But let's go back. What have you said? Have you said that you belong to God? Have you said that you're a Christian? Have you said that you've given yourself to God? Have we just said lucky charm stuff? Have we just said something to maybe please God and appease him, but we're actually not living it out? You know, when I went to Mongolia, their Buddhism is the main religion over there. But for a lot of them, it's just a lucky charm. They put a little Buddhist thing. They put a little Buddha on their car. They don't really follow it per se, but it's like a lucky charm to them. And they might say a little prayer here and there, but they don't really believe or they don't really follow through with it. And you know, sometimes as Christians, we're like that. I want to encourage you and restate that this is what you believe. This is what's in your heart of hearts, that God is the most important thing. This is what you've confessed. I'm confronting you with perhaps some things that you maybe don't want to look at or maybe don't want to believe, but the truth is that, yeah, what God says is real. And God's going to conflict with some things that you want to believe. But here's the thing, when you say, God, I'm going to go your way. God, I'm going to agree with you. God, I'm going to believe in you. And not just do that, not just mentally sent, but say, God, I need your power to even believe in you. God, I need your power to even move in this direction, to make this change, to follow through with this, to change my desire. And then you start spending time with him. You will see the manifestation of your belief in him. Not just in anything, but in him. The manifestation of your belief in God comes to power when you spend time with him, quality time with him. This is where we talk about how to connect with God here. You know, Hebrews 11:6 says this, those who come to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I wonder if sometimes that our prayer time is hindered because we actually might not even believe in God. We might not even believe we're actually meeting with him. Let me say, this is kind of a prerequisite here, so to speak, is that we need to believe that he is. That he is real, and that my time with him is real. Going to church isn't going to do anything for you if you don't believe God's real and this relationship is real. It might give you, you might feel better because you just said, but look, God wants to be in your life. He is longing to be with you. He loves you. He wants you to understand how real he is. He wants to connect you to power. And if he frustrates you for a moment, it's because he wants to give you a lifetime of joy and love. The momentary frustrations are not meant to keep you down, but it's meant to get you back up. It's meant to say, hey, hold on here, keep holding on. You know, there's times where my girls, they don't get what they want right away, but I want to see how they react. I want to bless them. I want to give them a piece of candy here. I want to give them this, but you know what? I'm not satisfying their very eager moment of wanting something. I want them to wait a little bit. I want them to grow in patience. I want them to grow in love. I want them to lean upon me a little bit and be there, not just asking and wanting stuff. I want them to be with me. But look, we need to connect. We need to have communion with the creator of the universe. And we need to first believe that he is. So look, number one, okay, this is going to be in your notes in the YouVersion. But perhaps we don't believe that he is or that he'll answer us. But look, here's how we connect with God. And here's how I want to talk about how we approach God. I want to talk about a little bit about our time with God. And then how we essentially close off our time. This is going to seem like basics, but I think it's extremely foundational. And I believe it's powerful, okay, what we're going to talk about here. How to connect with God, okay? Number one, we need to believe that he is. The Bible says that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. The Holy Spirit is here with us. And we need to first align our beliefs back to that. And your actions will show that. Your actions will show whether you believe with him. So let's start with number one, and underneath preparation time with God. Preparing a time with God, okay? Preparing a time to connect with him. This is point one I want to give you. Underneath this, I want to start with this. Come alert. Come alert to God. Don't give God your leftovers. If God really is real, and he really is the most important person in your life, then why does he get all the leftovers of our life? Come on, I'm not just preaching to myself here. I could, because this is good for me, right? We all go through this. We all get to the end of our day. We're tired. Oh, we throw up this Hail Mary prayer to God. Oh, God, thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, help me tomorrow. Keep me meditation. You know, and we get knocked out, right? Sometimes we fall asleep here, right, in Sunday mornings. Look, we cannot just be giving God our leftovers. He is deserving of much more than that. So here's the thing. If God is real, our actions need to line up with this belief. Because you might be saying something that we're not living out. The Bible says that the sons of God are those who, it says, talking about the rock, those who build their house on the rock are those who hear and do what God is saying. Not just simply hear, but do. We've talked about it before. So here's part of doing. Here's part of honoring God. Here's part of believing that he is that you're going to come alert to God and you're going to give God your best. So number one in this is you set a time for God. Set a time for him. Don't just give God your leftovers. Look, you can, but if you don't set a time, that's what's going to end up happening. If you don't do this on purpose, it's most likely not going to happen or not happen the way your heart wants it to happen. So I encourage you to set a time for God. I believe that the beginning of the day is the best time to start that. It is one of the hardest times to do it, but let me say this. It's when you're most alert. Let me give a little sales pitch for the beginning of your day, okay? Having your time with God at the beginning of the day. I know that it's difficult. However, it's when you're the most rested. Unless you're working third shift, okay? But the beginning of the day or whenever you're beginning the day, it's when you're the most rested. It's when a lot of the burdens and things are out of your mind. It's when you have some of the clearest thinking of your day. Almost every professional in any kind of business world will tell you that, you know, after a certain time of day, they don't make major decisions. They don't make major decisions after a certain time of the day. Because after a while, your mind gets a little bit muddled and you stop. They save their decisions. I heard something from Mark Zuckerberg, the maker of Facebook. And every day he wears a gray t-shirt and jeans or something like that. And they asked him, why do you wear the same thing over and over again? He says, simply, I don't want to use any brain energy to think about what to wear. But these are top contenders, right? These are people that are using their brain at the highest functionality they possibly can. So they're looking to take out every little thing they can. So they wear uniforms. Steve Jobs used to do the same thing. Okay? There's a lot of these kind of people that do that. So what I'm saying is that, look, your best decision time is usually when you've waken up, you're refreshed. How about this for a revolutionary idea? Have a cup of coffee before you have time with God, unless God's telling you to give up coffee, okay? How about that? How about before church? You know, I have a cup of coffee usually before I preach here. Some of you are like, I know, you're talking too fast, I know. All right, but have a cup of coffee, have some caffeine. Let me say this, if you were meeting with someone important, you were a bit tired, you'd probably have a cup of Joe, right? You would probably want to give them your best. Here's the thing, you want to come to God and be alert. You want to give him your best, so set a time with him. I'm encouraging you to make it the beginning of the day, before all your other priorities are set, before everything else comes to play, to give him your best. This is saying, God, you're real. This is part of reverencing God. Hallowed be thy name. This is part of believing that he is saying, God, I'm going to give you part of my day, okay? Which really, he gave you your life, so all the day is his. But setting a time where you're meeting with him specifically. Why? Because he's the most important person you'll meet with. And saying, God, you're real, setting a time. I know some of you are getting annoyed. Good. Good. Because that means that change could happen in that friction. That means that a spark could help change the fire, could help burn up that wood and stubble that is keeping you from the maximizing your life with him. I don't want you to be annoyed, but if you are, it's a good thing. Because that means there's something coming against what you're doing. But you know what? Here, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again. So if it will cause change, if I could provoke you, I want to do it in love. I want to do it where you do it joyously to give God this time. But if I can provoke you even through frustration to do it, I know you'll get joy by starting to do it. I know you will get joy. I know you will get connected. I know you will feel life if you start doing it. If you start doing it. So set a time. Don't give God your leftovers. Be alert when you come to God. Give God your best time. Set priorities. Realize this is your power source for your day, for the change you're going to make, for your job, whatever you're doing. You will be at a higher functionality when you spend time with God. But we're talking about not just spending time with God, but quality time. And we're going to keep getting into that. All right? Set a place. I talked about the whole wearing the uniform thing so you don't have to think about it. Well, you shouldn't have to be thinking, all right, God, where am I going to spend time with you today? Should I go over here? Should I go over there? Pick a place ahead of time. If you were setting an appointment with someone important, you say, all right, why would we meet here? Or they'll tell you, how about we meet here, okay? So find a place. There's places where I pray at. Sometimes it might be in the car. There's a park I go to sometimes in the car. I'll just drive there and go pray. Sometimes I'll come over here and pray. Sometimes I'll go in my one office and I'll shut the door and pray. Now, let me also say this, that if you're going to be around somebody else, as you're setting a time to pray, let others know. If you're in the house, let others know, hey, this is my prayer time. This is my time with God. You might want to say prayer time and say, I have a meeting right now, okay? This is my meeting time with God. This is my time to connect with. Let others know in the house. Say, ask for uninterrupted time. Now, for some of you, that might be really difficult, and I understand that. If you have kids, that might be really difficult, so maybe it needs to be before you go to sleep. Maybe it means you need to wake up before the kids get up. And ask your spouse for that. I know I'm getting into tight stuff here, but come on, this is just talking about time with God, right? I could preach another message, but we want this the growth choice. We're actually going to grow here. We're going to actually see the changes that are happening now last, not just stop dead, okay? So this is about connecting with God. Set a place. Say, God, I want to meet you here. I'm going to come here with you, and I'm going to put either a sign, say, please don't disturb it. But if they do, don't snap at them. Because then they'll be like, you weren't praying. I've been like that. I've had my prayer time, close the door. Someone comes in like, what? What do you want? I'm praying. It doesn't look like I'm praying when I respond like that, does it? So I encourage you that. You let people know that you're going to spend time in prayer. But also, hey, if they come interrupted, man, ask God for love to pour out of you and forgiveness and right off the bat, okay? Realize that God loves those people too you might want to snap at. But yeah, we all need those times to breathe and to take time alone with God. And you might be like this woman and say, I don't have any time. If that woman was in front of me, I would tell her very simply, you're doing too much. You need to have your kid quit something. You need to get something off your plate. You need to stop volunteering for all these other things in the community if this is taking your time. Not that any of those things are bad. But if you're saying that all these things are in the way of spending time with God, well, guess what? You got to drop something. Drop it like it's hot, real quick. Let it go now because it's keeping you down. Now, guess what? That's not a comfortable thing, right? That wouldn't be an easy thing to be saying to someone who's stressed out. But here's the thing. That point of pain will produce gain. If they let go of something, it will produce a gain in their life to get to where they want to go. I don't want to hurt that person more. However, that truth needs to be seen, that God needs to be the most important part, even if it's at the expense of something else or something else that you seems good. This is best. Okay? So look, this is just preparation to come to God. All right? This is believing that He is and preparing with actually what you're doing. How about come and be still? Come and be still. It says here in Psalm 46:10, it says, be still and know that I am God. Okay? So I'm not just talking about being still like this, like a statue. Yes, Lord. What do you want to say? You know, we don't have to be freezing in God's presence. But I'm talking about quieting your soul, quieting your mind, body, turning off your cell phone. How about we start with that? Turning off your emails. You're not your time with God is not checking your emails. That's not your time with God. Okay? Your time with God is not just speedily going over your prayer list and your to-do list before God. Okay? How about quieting your soul? This is why I make the suggestion again for the beginning part of your day. Okay? Now, here are some suggestions, because here's what happens to me. When I start praying, I start getting all these ideas, and all of a sudden, man, I start remembering everything I need to do, and it gets really annoying. And I had one pastor gave me a great suggestion. He said, look, first of all, three things you should bring into your prayer time with God is your Bible, your notebook, and pen. Bible, notebook, and pen. Okay, there's two things to be using your notebook for. If you have an iPad or something else, that's fine, whatever notes you use. Okay, but the first thing that I recommend is that when you start praying or when you start coming to God, all these things are going to be coming to your head. Part of that is, man, you're starting to step in the presence of God, and all of a sudden your mind is getting energized, you're remembering things. Some of it also could be the enemy trying to distract you from this specific time with God. And, I'm not going to say who's who or what, but this is what I'll say is that just write it all down. Brain dump it. Brain dump it on your pad of paper. All of a sudden you think of this, write it down, then put it to the side. Write down so that after your prayer time, you go back and take a look at it. Because here's what's going to happen. Something urgent is going to pop up on your mental email. You're going to have a mental email. Something comes up and something urgent is going to, urgent. I got to do this right now. I can't pray. And that's usually the enemy. Usually. Sometimes it's God, and God will go with you with it, okay? But I'm going to say for the most part, don't react to that. Don't react to that, because I want you to come back to this my mantra right now, right? Is God is the most important person to meet with in my day. He's the most important meeting in my day, more important than anything else. If I have something urgent, I need to urgently pray even more, because I need His power for this, okay? I need His strength for this. I don't just rely on my willpower, right? Spend time with God. Don't forsake that. It's going to happen. It's a guarantee, 100% guarantee. If it doesn't happen in 1 month, I'll give you, I don't want to promise that, but, you know, I could promise that. It will happen, all right? It will happen. So come and be still, all right? Get your shivers out. How about, here's a revolutionary idea. Go to the bathroom before you pray. I know that sounds like, come on, you know, we're not 2 years old here. I understand, but look, this is an easy distraction that comes up really quick, especially if you have coffee. Go to the bathroom beforehand. Get it out of the way. Don't think about it. Don't get distracted as much as possible. All right, if you were going to have a big meeting, you'd be doing that, right? Come on, it's just little common sense things, but usually this common sense goes when it comes to our time with God. I want us to realize that He is not only the most important meeting of our day, but that our actions speak that as well, because this is what's going to translate to God. Sometimes we don't realize the mess we're living in. Sometimes we don't realize the mess we're acting out in. Sometimes we say things to God, but we don't see it. So here, I'm letting you look at your own house for a moment. And I'm coming through your house with you. I'm coming through the doorways of your time right now. Okay? And I'm saying, hey, let's look at this. I don't think you saw this over here. I don't think you saw the spider web over here. I don't think you saw this over here. Let's take a look at this. Let's clean this up, because I know you really want to come to God. So let's make sure we all come to God together with this. Okay? So actually be still, all right? Focus your mind. Not only again, we talk about the pad and paper, but you want to focus your thoughts on Him. Not just your loved one, not your prayer list, on Him. Now, you might have something heavy on your heart, okay? And here's what I recommend, that perhaps you maybe need to bring that to God first and foremost, because we're going to have your time with God here for a moment, but let's not get that confused. If you get something heavy in your heart, say, God, I have this in my heart. Lord, I give this to you right now. Please, Lord, I take this. I bring this person to you. It's heavy in my heart, Lord. I want to come back to pray about this, but God, I'm going to surrender this to you right now. I want to surrender this heaviness, this thought to you right now. And do that right away in your prayer time. So here we're going to jump in then. Okay, actually, let me say another thing, is to reverence Him. And all that I talked about right now is part of reverencing Him. It's part of believing that He is. Everything I just talked about setting time, coming alert with to God. This is all part of reverence. This is all part of your posture. It's not just simply bending a knee, but spending your heart and bending your life to God. Bending, let me say it with me. Say, bending my life to God. Not just simply your heart. But here's another posture that perhaps you want to come and actually bend your knee to God as well. To reflect your bended life. To reflect that you're bending. Say, God, I'm coming. I'm humbling myself. Part of reverence is humility. Humbling yourself. It's realizing, God, I can't do it on my own. God, I do need you. And God, I do believe in who you are. I believe you are greater than I. And God, I come and I bow before you. You don't have to bow. Okay, this is not a have to. I'm giving a suggestion that perhaps this might want to... You reflect, your heart should be bowing though. And your life, I recommend to be bowing to the King that you are wanting to speak to in that moment, okay? There's a lot of things about prayer I can talk about. I'm just talking about simple. So point number two here is heart talk. You need to have a heart talk with God. You need to have, this is the deep communication time with God, okay? We need to take a time to have deep communication. So after you've prepared, you've come into this place where you set your time with God, you're coming alert, you have a reserved time for Him, you've quieted your body, soul, and spirit, and you're coming to focus in on Him. Now comes to your actual communication with God. And this is where we need to get real and close and deep with God. And there's a couple, and I don't want to give a formula for this. There's a lot of formulas out there, but there are certain things that I would say I recommend doing this first. You don't have to. It's not like God's going to say, do this. But if you haven't done this in a while, maybe I recommend that you get back to this, all right? To get back to this, all right? Some scriptures here real quick. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain, anyone know what it says? Mercy. Mercy. Do you remember what mercy is? Blessed are those who are merciful, for they will obtain mercy. Find mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This is what we're talking about, connecting with God. God wants you to boldly approach His throne, to know that you have access to Him, know that you can come to Him. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Hebrews 10:22 says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with a pure water. Okay? Look, we need to come to God with an expectancy that we're going to meet with Him. That's more back into the preparation point as well, okay? So as we come to God, we need to expect. This is part of reverencing. This is part of this, but it's part of faith, saying, God, I'm going to meet with you today. You have come with an this is part of you activating your faith, where you actually expect to meet with God. You're not expecting to meet with your soul, and you're expecting to meet with God, your Savior, your Lord. There needs to be an expectancy there. With that expectancy, might I recommend a little bit what's talking about, that you come with full assurance, that you come for mercy. Ask God. Look, one of the points in Rick Warren says to face and forsake your sins quickly. Okay? Face your sins and forsake them quickly. I know for me, I've talked about this recently, that I've come back and, Lord, forgive me for what I've done. I talked about this a little bit last week. Lord, forgive me for what I did the day before. Forgive me for what I did an hour before. Forgive me for what I did. We don't like to look at ourselves. We don't like to look at what we've done wrong. But unless you realize what you've done wrong, you don't need a Savior. Unless you realize that you can't get out of what you did. Unless you realize that you don't have the power to do it on your own, you really don't need Jesus in your day, do you? And if you don't need Jesus, you're not going to access Him nor receive His power to get done what you know in your heart needs to be done. Okay? We need to start with this position of our heart. We say, God, here I am. God, I'm humbly coming before you, and here is what I did wrong, God. Now, you might come and say, you know, I didn't do anything wrong today. Well, then let me encourage you to start out by thanking God for what He did do. Now, here's where you come into a real problem. If you come to God and you can't realize that you did anything wrong, nor can you thank Him for anything that He's done in your life, you are dealing with a severe case of pride. Severe. Let me say this again. Severe. Warning signs coming up. A fall is on the way. If you cannot see that you've done anything wrong or thank Him for anything He's done right, something is majorly wrong in your relationship with God. Now, I understand you're coming to God, you know, maybe a new Christian, okay? But usually new Christians realize they've messed up. Some of our older ones that we kind of forget. So I want to encourage you to, Lord, and here's the thing. This is what David prayed. David prayed, Lord, search me. Look in my heart. Find me, O God. Put your spotlight. Look, search, put your light on me, Lord. Let me see. If you can't see it, ask God to reveal it to you. Because you need to go through the cross. You need to go through Jesus. There are times in my life where I felt I did nothing wrong. I did everything to the best of my knowledge and everything. And you can sincerely do a lot of things, but you can also sincerely do some things wrong. Paul sincerely killed Christians in the name of God. The Pharisees sincerely thought they were worshiping God. Yet they're the ones that crucified him, right? So we can be sincere, and we need to ask God, show me where I'm getting off. Show me where I'm relying on my willpower, not yours. Show me the words that I said that hurt somebody else. And here's the thing, you don't want to face them. I understand that, but here's the thing. You don't face them to keep focusing on them. You face them to submit them. If you don't acknowledge your missteps, how are you actually giving it to God to say, Lord, help me fix it. Lord, correct it. Lord, I need your power. What do you need God's power for? You're not doing anything wrong. But God, you know my... No, be specific with God. Say, God, I messed up right here. God, I said this wrong. God, I did this over here. I went to this place and I should have gone there, God. I wasted this money in this area that I know I shouldn't have wasted my money in. Yes, God's involved in your finances too. God, I went and I saw this and I shouldn't have seen it. I put my eyes on this. I put my lips on this. I put my tongue to this. I put my ear to this and I shouldn't have, God. What are some areas that we need to come to God and say, God, forgive me. Search me, Lord. Here I am. And then quickly, you don't focus on your sin. You face it and you forsake it. Okay, you say, God, here it is, Lord. Forgive me. I laid down your cross. And then you need to remember that you are saved. You need to remember that you have a Savior. You confess your sins to him. All right? And perhaps there's someone else you need to confess to, but then you receive quickly his grace. You come into that fruition of the knowledge of his will and what he's done through the cross and say, God, thank you for Jesus. I thank you that I'm saved. I'm no longer who I was, that you have saved me, that you have filled me, that you're loving, you have forgiven me and cleansed me. You come receive. You submit this to God. Say, God, here this is. But God, man, you turn it quickly to thanksgiving. If you know you're saved, if you know that God's forgiven you, you can do this. You can come to him and say, Lord, I receive your forgiveness, God. Here it is. Here's my mess up. Here is my mountain of mess up, God, from just 1 hour, from just one day. God, here it is, Lord. But God, I thank you that you've washed this away and that you see this no more because of your love in Jesus Christ. Because of what Jesus did for me, this is wiped away and gone. And start turning that to thanks, to thanksgiving. Start thanking God. Part of when you thank God, you are acknowledging the reception of a gift. You understand that for saying that? That's one of the reasons why thanking God's so powerful. In so many ways, thanking God's powerful. But when you thank someone, you're acknowledging the reception of a gift, aren't you? You're acknowledging the reception. You're acknowledging something they've done that you have received from or gotten from. So thank God for what he's done. Thank God for the cross every time you meet with him. Experience the cross. Experience his salvation. Realize, I cannot stop doing what I'm doing, but God, through your power, I can. Anything, you're not going to be able to fix everything, but God's usually going to be working on 1, 2, 3 major things in your life. So anyway, come to God. Forsake quickly. Okay, ask forgiveness. Thank him. Thank him for his presence. Acknowledge him. It says, acknowledge him in all of your ways, and he will direct your steps. Acknowledge God. Begin thanking him. Begin raising your hand. Begin expressing to God thanks. Let your thanks begin turning into praise. Begin getting elated with God. Begin realizing, we talked about this before, when incredible God deserves incredible praise. Begin getting lost in him. Let him, remember we talked about focus, right? Remember focus from Bob Ricky? Focus, right? Get so focused on him where you realize, God, thank you so much for what you have done. Well, you know, a forgiven heart's a thankful heart. You begin thanking him. You begin praising him. You begin magnifying for how good he is. Not only do you remember that he's forgiven you, but now also you come back to thanking him for what he's done in your life, what his hand has provided to you. You thank him that his presence is there with you in that moment. You begin thanking him for his goodness. You begin thanking him for the change. Not only do you remember what you've done wrong, but let me also say this. Remember what God helped you do right. Okay? Come to him with what's wrong, but help. Remember the progress that happened that day. And thank him for it. Don't thank yourself for it. Don't say, God, give me a pat on the back. I did a really good job. Thank him for the power to do what was good that, in that choice, in that moment. Thank you, God. In that moment, you helped me. You helped me steer away clear from that temptation. You were there. Even if you messed up, you can thank God that his presence was there warning you. Do you realize? You can thank God that he was there. He would say, hey, don't do this. God, I thank you that you were there. Even though I made the wrong choice, I thank you didn't let me go. You were right there with me. You were trying to warn me. You let that phone call come right at the right time, God. But I forsook it, Lord. But you thank God and say, God, and you let him eclipse your thinking. You let all of a sudden, you let it turn into praise where you magnify him like a magnifying glass. And you begin seeing how big he is. You begin seeing how involved he is in your life. How much he loves you. How much he cares for you. How much he's doing for you. How much you've missed. And you begin praising him and getting outside of yourself into that magnificated picture of him. And you begin worshiping him. Begin loving him. Begin not only praising him for how big and how great he is in your life, you begin loving and pouring your love out upon him, adoring him, because he's good. This is what happens when you look at him. You get drawn to him. You get drawn to him, and you begin worshiping, and you pour out your love on him. Pour out from your heart. Whenever you do this, guys, your heart needs to be in it. You need to be behind every word. This is why I come back to being still and knowing that he is God. You need to be still. You need to be behind what you're speaking. You need to be in that moment. You can't just be saying, yeah, I love you, Mom. You know, you're a great mother. You know, I'm sorry that, you know, your hand broke there, you know, but, you know, what good is that, right? You need to be in the moment, quiet everything else and look at him and focus on him. And that's how praise will begin erupting in your heart. You're not going to be able to find true praise from here unless you're focused here upon him. Because as you observe him, let me bring this out. There are angels around the throne room of God that all they cry out is holy, 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 holy. Why? Because all they are doing is observing him, and all they can do is respond to that observance of him in holy cries unto him, saying, God, you are holy. You begin magnifying. Here's something beautiful. As you magnify God, it says God inhabits the praise of his people. Perhaps you're believing God for something. God, I'm going to praise you for the healing. Lord, I know you're not there, but I know, Lord, you're healing my heart right now. I know you're doing something right here. So God, I'm praising you as Jehovah Rapha, my healer. I thank you, Lord God, that your healing's on the way. You even thank God for prayers that haven't been necessarily manifested yet. You say, God, I believe that you're on the way. I believe that you're moving. I believe you're doing something in my life right now. I love you, Lord. I love you, God. And even if this doesn't, Lord, I know that you are here. You're real and you love me, God. But you begin thanking him. You focus on him. You praise him. Praise him. Says again, God inhabits the praise of his people. There might be a facet of God. Maybe you need to praise him as your provider. Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides your job, your finances. You begin praising, thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what your hand has given me, oh God. And you begin praising him, and he begins inhabiting. Draw near to him, and he will draw near to you. It's talking about drawing near, okay? This is your communication time with God. Come humbly before him. Praise him, magnify him, pour out, and then listen to him. More importantly than almost anything is during this interaction, as you give to him, he made the first step by coming to you, forgiving you. He gave you access to him. As you access, as you draw near to him, he draws near to you. So when he's drawing near, stop and listen. Listen to what he's saying. This is not the be still part. This is part of being still, okay? But I talked about being still before, quiet yourself, focus on him. But now this is another part of still. This is another part of your prayer time where you're still. You say, God, what is it that you're speaking to me? You take time to listen to him. Your prayer time is not just one-way communication. Okay, and this is where you have to understand that when you plug into an outlet, there's a flow of power that's coming in. Okay, but when you plug into God, not only are you giving, but you are receiving from him. This is how connection happens, is giving and receiving. It's not simply a lecture of praise to God. God wants to speak to your heart. Now, it might come in different ways. It might come as a feeling. You might sense strength. You might sense hope. You might sense an inspiration. You might sense an answer. You might get all of a sudden wisdom for something. You might all of a sudden get enlightened with something, but be still. Know that he is God. Let him speak to you. Listen to what he's speaking. Listen to what he's saying. Maybe it's a scripture. You should have your Bible open. Again, you bring your Bible, and your Bible is part of your conversation with God. Perhaps you want to be repeating a scripture to him. Look, we're going to be talking about prayer on Sunday nights soon on the altar meetings. We're going to be doing a practicum of prayer where we're going to talk about the multiple types of ways to communicate with God, because there are many. Okay, there are many different ways to come to God. I'm mentioning a few of them here, but I'm not outlining it very specifically to you. I'm giving you an outline of how to come to God here. Okay, so praise him, talk with him, love on him, but listen to him. Listen to what he's speaking. This is one of the most important parts of your interactions with him, is soaking in his presence. Okay, maybe you don't hear something, but maybe you sense something. Soak it in. Sometimes you got to express with your hands and your arms. Lord, here I am. You know, do you remember Samuel? Remember Samuel that God spoke to him, right? And he was a boy, and he heard the voice, and when he was lying in his bed, Samuel, Samuel! You know what's interesting is that God didn't continue after he called his name. God was waiting for a response from Samuel, a little boy who didn't know better. But what he did know is that he knew to run to the priest and ask him. And so he ran to Eli. Eli said, you know, go back again and do. And then finally, the third time, he went back. And then he responded when he heard the voice, Samuel, Samuel! And then he responded with what Eli told him, said, Lord, your servant is here. You know, please speak to me. Or speak to me, your servant is listening. And that's when he got the instructions from God. Say, God, I don't hear you. Are you approaching God correctly? Are you coming to him believing that he is? Are you coming believing that he will answer you? Are you coming with a time of giving and receiving? Are you coming with a response to even what God's saying? Are you coming to say, God, I'm going to hear, listen to you. Here's another thing to be coming to God with a willingness to obey. You need to come to God with a willingness to obey whatever he tells you. And it might conflict with what you believe or what you want to believe or what you think you can do or can't do. He might give you something enormously big to do that requires him. That's kind of what God does. You say, okay, God, I need you, God. You listen to what he's saying, but realize that whatever he asks you to do, he will give you the power to do it. We listen not only with our ears for words. We listen with all of us, every part of us, even with what you sense. It says in Hebrews that those that are mature are those that have, by reason of use, exercised their senses to discern both good and evil. Not just evil, but good. Discerning his presence, discerning when he's there, what he's speaking, how he's speaking. Maybe you're sensing his embrace at that moment. You're sensing his love. Just receive his love. Perhaps you're sensing the power, strength to accomplish something. Man, just receive it. Stay there and get as much of it as you can. Don't go until you take on all that you can get from him. Pull on him like a gravitational pull. Keep your heart focused on that connection, okay? As you're coming, as you sense something, focus on him. Be praising your mind. Focus on him. Say, Lord, I'm here. I want to receive from you, God. I sense your power. I sense your strength. And now let me give you another encouragement. When you're in that place, in that type of moment right there, begin picturing the circumstance that power is for. Begin imagining, God, thank you for the strength to be talking to my coworker and perhaps sharing Christ with them. Thank you for the strength to be able to forgive this person, Lord. And help ask the Lord to give you that power and see yourself overcoming the situation and see God in that moment. Okay, so look, these are just some simple things here, but all right, engage further in conversation. Ask him at this time, at this point in the conversation, make your request known to God. After you listen, after you worship him, say, God, here's my request. Here, you might have come in with something pressing, you get it to God, maybe you need to pick that back up and say, God, remember this request? I'm asking you for an answer here. Thank you for what you're speaking to me here, and I'm also asking you for an answer here, God. I'm coming to this prayer list. I'm coming with some people to be praying for. But look, I'm really coming back, not in the form of intercession, okay? I'm not talking about intercessory time of prayer. We can talk about that another time. I'm talking about your time to connect with God and his power, okay? And so you're coming to God, and maybe you're making a request for something that he's speaking to you with. Make your request known to him. Ask, seek, and knock, okay? Point number three, and I'll close with this. Prepare to face your day with him. Prepare to face your day with him. So you come to God, all right? You're preparing to be with God, right? We talk about coming alert, picking a time, picking a place, be caffeinated, be still. We talk about communicating with him. You face and forsake your sins. You come with thanksgiving, praise, and worship. You come to listen to what he's saying. Now we're also talking about preparing to face your day. This is the exit, so to speak. But it's not really an exit. Because here's what happened. You don't actually close off in prayer. What you have done is that you invite the master of the universe into your day. Let me say it again. You have invited the master of the universe into your day. Don't close the door on him and keep him in a room. Don't close the door on him and say, thank you, God, for this meeting. And now I'll leave you behind here and face the world now. I'll go ahead and face my life here without you. Thank you for the advice, and here I go. You're missing it then. You're missing it. You need to be taking him with you. You just invite him into your life, into your day. You take him with you. You go hand in hand with him. He's Emmanuel. He's the Holy Spirit. He's with you wherever you are. You have just engaged in the connection with God, and you keep that connection alive. You don't lose it. You don't lose sight of it. You hold on to that connection. You hold on to that connection with him. Part of what we need to do is start this. We talk about this reflect time. We need to reflect on what he's speaking. What is God speaking to you? We got to acknowledge that, because what happens, we close the door, we say, okay, God, here's your box, here's your time, and that's it. But what is God speaking, okay? You're not going to be able to just go with him if you're not going to be remembering him. Remember what he's speaking. So first you got to clarify that. Write down in your notepad then, God, what is it you're speaking to me? What is it that I'm sensing? What is it that I'm feeling? What is this power? I sense your power. You're saying, just even write, you might not know what it is, but just write down what you're sensing, what you're thinking, what comes to mind when you think about praising him. Maybe there's a scripture that came to mind, you wrote that down, there's something stuck out in your prayer time. Look, part of you connecting with God is reading. Okay, you need to be reading the Bible. All right, but something stuck out, the scripture, and you know, man, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Take that with you. Clarify what he's speaking to you. Reflect on his words. Reflect on what you heard in listening time. Write it down. Ask him how to implement it. Okay, when you hear something, ask him, God, what do I do with this? How do I do this? God, I hear go here. I hear go here to this place. I hear speak this person, but what do I say, God? And he might just say, go there and open your mouth when you get there. Who knows? I'm saying ask him. Okay, ask him what he wants you to do today. Maybe he wants you to keep doing something you were doing. Ask him for the strength for that. Maybe he wants you to stop doing something you were doing. Ask him for the strength for that. Maybe he wants you to initiate something you weren't doing before. Ask him for the strength. And maybe it's a combination of two or three of those. Listen to what he's saying. This is part of you going on facing your day. Meditate on his word. Think about what he's saying. Here's something that I do. There's a tool that I'd like to equip you with in January. I'm going to talk about it again even more. 21-Day Brain Detox by Dr. Caroline Leaf. I want to recommend that to you guys to check that out. 21-Day Brain Detox, okay? Something in there that when I went through it multiple times, okay? And I'm going to be doing it again. I want us to do it together as a church, okay, come January time. But one of the things is that I set alarms throughout my day that I'm going to do this. I set seven alarms throughout my day, actually five alarms, okay? And I set the other two at the end of the day because my phone only has five alarms, okay? So I set five alarms. And what it is, I reminded myself of the prayer time I had in the morning time. When that alarm went off, I knew to repeat a scripture that I remembered in the morning time, to repeat something that I felt God speak to my heart. What is it? Because sometimes we get lost in our day. We get shuffled, distracted. We get the post-it notes coming, things flying in our way. So I remind myself, and I reconnect with the point of power. I reconnect with that place of power in my life, with what he was speaking. I reconnect with him. So I encourage you to meditate on his word and set alarms, set things in your day to remember. Keep connected with him, okay? That's basically it for connecting with God portion. And I want to close off with other things to consider. I talk about the prayer times. I'm an avid believer in praying in tongues, okay? I know we don't talk about it in church that much, and as you know, we don't require anyone. We're not saying this and that because I understand it might seem a little bit crazy to those that don't speak in tongues. I understand that. But the Bible specifically talks about it a lot. Paul says, I pray in tongues more than you all. And so there's something to it. And I'm not going to go into that right now or explain it. But I encourage you to read the scriptures on it, to take a look at it. And if you have questions, ask me. Because to me, that is one of the greatest doorways into the presence and power of God. It's through being baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking in other tongues. It's not just some gift for other people. It's available for every believer. It's available for every believer. And so, and then let me go over Rick Warren's notes real quick. His first point was first, and this is in the YouVersion notes, first I need to fix a daily time with God. This is the growth choice notes, okay? Number two, I must spend time filling my mind with God's word. Number three, I must focus on the goal, not the bad habit or hang-up. Number four, I must face and forsake my failures quickly. Number five, I have to flee temptation, but I don't fear temptation. Number six, if I'm going to make it to the finish line, if I'm going to grow continuously, I must form an ongoing support group. And number seven, follow Christ to the finish line. Okay, these are Rick Warren's notes on how to keep this growth choice and keep it going in your life. And I fully believe in what those notes are saying. But I wanted to focus on what I think is one of the main parts. That first point is spending your time with God. And part I talk about face and forsake. You heard me talk about some of this other stuff. But without that, everything else is meaningless. Without that, everything else is powerless. That is what the one thing that is needed. So at this time, I know, running, Brian, I'm going to call you up and I'm going to ask us to worship here. And if you need to be going, man, feel free to go. But I want to encourage you to engage in this connection time with God that we just talked about here. To connect with him. During this time of praise, of worship, I want to encourage you to practice a little bit what we just talked about here. If you need forgiveness for something, come to God. Give it to him quickly. If you need it, forsake it. Lay it down at his feet. But come alert right now. Come to God and say, God, I'm going to focus my mind, my attention upon you. God, I want to hear from you. I believe that you are here. I believe that your presence is here. I believe that you're going to speak to me. And let's come to God again. If you need to go, feel free to go. You do not have to be standing. I realize that we're already at 11:40 here. And I understand that. But if you want to engage here with worship, I want to invite you to stay around. Let's worship together here in these moments.